What if America had lost the Revolutionary War? It's hard to imagine what the world would be like today if the country had remained under British rule or splintered into different factions. But had a few battles gone differently, that could well be our reality. Author Bob Thompson revisits these pivotal moments in the new book, Revolutionary Roads, Searching for the War That Made America Independent and All the Places It Could Have Gone Terribly Wrong. Bob is a former editor and feature writer for The Washington Post, known for his pieces on the intersection of history and myth. Here he is to share five of his big ideas.
Hi, I'm Bob Thompson, author of Revolutionary Roads, which I like to call a traveling history of the Revolutionary War. To write it, I put 20,000 miles on my car, bumping around to where game-changing events took place. I got help from revolution obsessives whose hard-earned knowledge opened my eyes, and I fought through thick tangles of legend and myth. In the end, I found myself with new insights about how historical stories are shaped, for better or worse, insights that are as essential to understanding the 21st century as the 18th. Here are five of them. Insight number one, hindsight distorts the picture. It's a little-known fact among Americans today that we could easily have lost our war for independence. This could have happened after a disastrous battle in Brooklyn in the summer of 1776, with George Washington and half his army almost taken prisoner. Or it could have happened early in 1777 at Trenton, New Jersey, not at the Battle of Trenton we know about, for which Washington famously crossed the Delaware, but at a second Battle of Trenton, fought 8 days later, in which the British came dangerously close to handing Washington his lunch. If they had, we would scarcely remember that triumphant first battle. And here's another major way that hindsight distorts the picture. One of the most persistent misconceptions about the Revolutionary War is that it had to end with either side victorious. 6 years into the war and 3 years after France joined the fight, a more likely scenario was peace negotiations in which the European powers would hold all the cards. Think of it as a kind of diplomatic freeze tag, in which each side got to keep the territory it currently held. Now picture a fragile new nation lacking most of the South, New York City, Long Island, and parts of northern New England, with Britain retaining vast swaths of territory west of the Appalachians, and you'll have an idea how different that outcome would have been. Insight number two, some turning points are invisible. As I drove by Revolutionary Roads, I lost count of the turning points I encountered. Some are well known, First Trenton and Saratoga come to mind, and some much less so. Do the names Oriskany or Waxhaws mean anything to you? But there were also turning points no traveler can see. I'm thinking in particular of a series of them involving the French intervention that made the decisive victory at Yorktown possible. "We are at the end of our tether," Washington wrote in the spring of 1781. "Now or never, deliverance must come." He was talking about additional help from France, the alliance having so far produced few positive results. And as if to answer his plea, a ginormous French fleet showed up off the Virginia coast 4 months later and helped bottle up a British army there. An incredible number of things had to go right for that fleet to get to Yorktown on time. But I'll mention just the first. If the British Navy had been on its toes, that fleet wouldn't even have made it out of the harbor in France. Insight number three, accidental heroes can change the world. I learned plenty of new things about famous revolutionary heroes, hello George, and about others who are largely unknown, but the war's accidental heroes surprised me the most. Take the American officer who, amid the roar of musketry, the shouting men, the cries of the wounded and the dying, on a vital South Carolina battlefield, misunderstood a command and mistakenly ordered his men to retreat. Nightmare. Except it turned out that his blunder allowed his side to win. Or take another fellow on my list of unknown dudes who accidentally saved the revolution. In September 1780, James Livingston commanded a post 12 miles down the Hudson River from West Point. Benedict Arnold, as it happened, was about to turn West Point over to the British, giving them control of the Hudson and perhaps allowing them to nab Washington in the process. But Livingston, who knew nothing of Arnold's treason, ordered two cannons to open fire on a British warship driving it downriver and triggering a chain of unlikely events that resulted in Arnold's flight, the hanging of a British accomplice, and the foiling of a plot which, many believe, could have ended the war. Insight number four. What's left out of stories is crucial. African Americans, free and enslaved, worked and fought for both sides during the Revolution, though more sided with the British, who began liberating those enslaved to rebels early on. Yet few Americans today understand how slavery's end might have been accelerated if we had recruited enslaved men to fight in return for their freedom, as Rhode Island did briefly, or how such a plan came to be fiercely debated in South Carolina. That plan's idealistic young author, John Laurens, remained obscure, at least until he made his Broadway debut in Hamilton. There's a bigger story to be told here, though. Many of the enslaved didn't wait to be recruited. As historian Gary Nash writes, they took advantage of wartime disruption to obtain their freedom in any way they could. Some joined rebel armies, even in the South. Others fled west. But most often, freedom seekers ran to the British Army. Running was dangerous, yet many thousands did so, staging the first large-scale rebellion of American slaves, a rebellion that was never duplicated during the remainder of the slave era. Much that resulted was tragic. For one thing, gatherings of previously isolated people were vulnerable to disease, especially smallpox, which was epidemic during the war. Still, we need to ask ourselves, why doesn't the largest rebellion of enslaved Americans before the Civil War get bigger play in our revolutionary story? Insight number five. We should ask more what-if questions. Most historians don't like to deal with questions about what if X or Y or Z had happened, and for good reason. The correct answer is always, we can never know. Yet it's essential to keep asking those questions anyway, because one of our basic impulses when we think about the past is to assume that things happened because they had to happen. They did not. Something different could have happened. This insight is as true for what made the news last week as it is for what took place on a battlefield in 1775. And if you asked me to name just one thing I learned from writing Revolutionary Roads, that's what I would tell you. I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Bob. That was Bob Thompson with five big ideas from Revolutionary Roads, Searching for the War That Made America Independent and All the Places It Could Have Gone Terribly Wrong. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.